Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Becky Book Club host here, and I am happy to be here and be on the show. I would like to invite you all to the show. The show is here, or I should say on this station of Live Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 30 minutes per night, and I am speaking about various topics under the sun. And I would like to invite you to call into the show and be a part of the audience by dialing 347-205-9535. You can also go on the web at www.beckybusinessbox.com and be a part of the live audience via the web. We've been talking about all types of subject matter as we continue this trek towards the lineup that we have in store for you for 2015. And I would like to say that last Friday, I really enjoyed bringing to you a grand lesson, if you will, from the Women of the Bible. And I spoke on a lady named, whose name meant weasel. She was one of the four ministries mentioned in that time. And we spoke on chastened, never destroyed, discipline, never forsaken. And the scriptures that we discussed were 2 Kings 22:14 through 20, 2 Chronicles 34 through 22. 24, I should say, through 33, and Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68. And that story on the lady whose name Weasel was Huldah, and she was a very, very sharp lady who gave the king of that era a message. And you can check that story out in those scriptures that I aforementioned. Prior to that lesson last week, we tried to play our favorite theme song for this season of life, if you will, and that's the song that is very popular these days. It's blown up all over the world. It's one of Pharrell's top songs, most downloads, most listened to. Everybody is loading this song down or downloading it or uploading it or however they're doing it, and they're doing their own been on it, and Pharrell is just so overwhelmed by how it has touched people that he was in tears when he had an interview with Oprah in regard to Happy and how it all came about. He said in that interview that he had to do that song. He had to write that song, go to the drawing board 9 times, and on the 10th time, he got what the producers were asking for. And I don't know if any of you have seen that cute little movie, Ridiculous or something to that effect, that has those funny little caricatures. But he wrote that song for that movie. And Happy is something that we all desire. But is it possible to be happy? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to touch on that very briefly. You know, there are many people who wonder whether or not happiness ever existed in this modern rushing world. Very often an individual can have $1 million. He can have everything his heart apparently desires, and he can still be unhappy. Imagine that. We take the case of somebody who has worked all of their life. He's worked hard, He's raised a big family. He's looked forward to that time in his life when he at last can retire and be happy and be cheerful and have lots of time to do all of the things that he's wanted to do, could not do because of work. And then we see him after he's retired. Is he happy? Absolutely no. A resounding no. He's sitting there thinking about the good old days when he was working hard and he was stressed out and his adrenaline was flowing and his blood pressure was up and blah, blah, blah. And he's not happy. The things that he's worked all of his life and slaved all of his life to accomplish is not fulfilling in retirement. And one of the main problems in life is happiness. The world today may or may not be designed to be a happy world. It may or may not be possible for you to be happy in this world. And yet, nearly all of us have the goal of being happy and cheerful about our existence. That is the plan. That is the goal in our life, to be happy, to find Mr. and Mrs. Right, to live a long and prosperous life, to retire on a huge bankroll, travel all over the world, fish, golf, do all these things. And if and when we get there, it's not enough. Very often we look around at the world and we wonder. Nobody's happy in this place. We look at the dirty dishes in the sink, the car needs a coat of paint, the new gas heater we need, the new coats, the decent pair of shoes, some decent underwear. Well, you get the story. How could anyone possibly be happy when actually he can't have everything he wants? He's unable to do all the things he'd like to do. And therefore, this environment doesn't permit a person to be happy as he could be. Well, I tell you a funny thing. Lots of philosophers have said this many, many, many times. But the truth of the matter is that all the happiness you will ever find lies in. You remember when you were maybe 5 years old and you went out in the morning and you looked out at the day and it was a very, very beautiful day and you looked at the flowers and they were very beautiful flowers. And then 25 years later, you get up in the morning and you take a look at the flowers and they're wilted. The day isn't happy. Well, what changed? You know they are the same flowers and it is the same world, but something must have changed. Well, probably it was you. Actually, a little child derives all of his pleasure in life from the grace he puts upon life. He waves a magic hand and turns all manner of interesting things into being out in the society. Where does he do this? He goes down and he looks at the cop. Here's this big, strong brute of a man riding this iron steed up and down. Boy, he'd like to be a cop. Yes, sir, he'd sure like to be a cop. 25 years later, he looks at that cop riding up and down, checking his speedometer, and says, doggone these cops. What's wrong here? Has the cop changed? No. Just the attitude toward the cop. One's attitude toward life makes every possible difference in one's living. You know, you don't have to study 1,000 ancient books to discover that fact. But sometimes it needs to be pointed out again that life doesn't change so much as you change. Once upon a time, perhaps, thinking of being married and having a nice home and having a nice family and everything would be just right. And the husband would come home, you see, and you put dinner on the table, and everybody would be happy about the whole thing. And then you got married. And maybe it didn't quite work out. Somehow or other, he comes home late. He'd had an argument with the boss, and he doesn't feel well. He doesn't want to go to the movies, and he doesn't see how you have any work to do anyhow. After all, you just sit home all day and do nothing. And you know, he doesn't do any work either. He disappears out of the house. He's gone, and he comes back later in the evening, and he hasn't done anything either. Why an argument could come over this, and actually, both of you have worked quite hard. Well, what do we do in a condition like this? Do we just break up the marriage, or touch a match to the whole house, or throw the kids in the garbage can and go home to mama? Or what do we do? Well, there are many, many, many things we could do, and the least of them is to take a look at the environment. Just look around and say, where am I? What am I doing here? And then once you found out where you were, why, try to find out how you could make that a little more habitable. The day when you stop building your own environment, when you stop building your own surroundings, when you stop waving a magic wand and gracing everything around you with magic and beauty, things cease to be magical. Things cease to be beautiful. Maybe you've just neglected somewhere back in the last few years to wave that magic wand. Other people seek happiness in various ways. They seek it technically. It's as though it is some sort of a mechanism that exists. It's made up. Maybe it's a little machine. Maybe it's something that's parked into a cupboard. Or maybe happiness is down at the next corner. Maybe it's someplace else. They are looking for something. Well, the odd part of it is, the only thing they'll ever find something is when they put it there first. They're looking for something. And the odd part of it is, the only time they'll ever find something is when they put it there first. Now, this doesn't seem very credible, but it's quite true. Those people who have become unhappy about life are unhappy about life solely and completely because life has ceased to be made by them. Here we have the single difference in a human being. We have that human being who is unhappy, miserable, and isn't getting along in life, who is sick, doesn't see brightness. Life is handling, running, changing, and making him. Here we have somebody who is happy, who is cheerful, who is strong, finds there is something worth doing in life. What do we discover in this person? We find out that he is making life. Now, there is actually the single difference. Are you making life, or is life making you? That's the single difference. An unhappy person is allowing life to make him. But the happy person is making life. And when we go into this, we find out that a person has stopped making life because he himself has decided that life cannot be made. Some failure, some small failure, maybe not graduating with the same class, maybe that failure that had to do with not marrying quite the first woman or man who came along and seemed desirable, maybe the failure of having lost a car, or just some minor thing in life started this attitude. A person looked around one day and said, well, I've lost. And after that, life makes him. He doesn't make life anymore. Well, this would be a very dreadful situation if nothing could be done about it. But the fact of the matter is, it's the easiest problem of all. The problem man faces, changing himself and changing the attitude of those around him. It's very, very easy to change somebody else's attitude, yet you are totally dependent upon other people's attitudes. Somebody's attitude toward you may make or break your life. Did it ever occur to you that your home holds together probably because of the attitude the other people has, the other person has toward you? So there's two problems here. You have to change two attitudes. One, your attitude toward somebody else, and two, their attitude toward you. Well, are there ways to do these things? Yes. Fortunately, there are. For many, many centuries, man has desired to know how to change the mind and condition of himself and his fellows. Actually, man hadn't accumulated enough information to do this up to relatively a few years ago. But we're living in a very fast-paced world. We're living in a world where magic is liable to occur at any time, and has. Man now understands a great many things about the universe he lives in which he never understood before. Amongst the things which he now understands is the human mind. The mind is not an unsolved problem. 19th century psychology did not solve the problem. That doesn't mean that it hasn't been solved. In modern times, the most interesting miracles are taking place all across this country and across the other continents of Earth. What do these miracles consist of? They consist of people becoming well. It consists of people who were unhappy becoming happy once more. It consists of abolishing the danger inherent in many of the illnesses and in many of the conditions of man. And yet the answer has been with man all the time. Man has been able to reach out and find this answer, but perhaps man himself had to change. Perhaps he had to come up with modern time to find out that the physical universe was not composed of demons and ghosts to outlive his superstitions, to outlive the ignorance of his forebears. Perhaps he had to do everything, including invent the atom bomb, before he could find himself. Well, he has pretty well mastered the physical universe now. The physical universe is to him now rather a pawn. He can do many things with it. And having conquered that, he can now conquer himself. The truth of the matter is, he has conquered himself. Scientology came about because of man's increased knowledge of energy. Man became possessed of more information about energy than he had ever had before in all of his history. And amongst that,
he came into possession of information about the energy which is in his own mind. The body is an energy mechanism. Naturally, a person who cannot handle energy could not handle a body. He would be tired. He would be upset. He would be unhappy. And he looks all around him. He finds nothing but energy. If he knew a great deal about energy, particularly the energy of himself, the energy that made him think, the energy that was himself, and the space which surrounded him, he, of course, would know himself. And that, in the final essence, has been his goal for many thousands of years, to know himself. Scientology has made it possible for him to do so. Now, I am sharing with you from one of the courses in Scientology that is called A New Slant on Life. Now, I don't want anybody to get anything twisted in regard to myself. Okay? I believe in God. And I do not agree that demons and ghosts have nothing to do with our life here in the earth. Now, I'm not saying that Scientology said that, but I did just read something about demons and ghosts. And the sentence says perhaps he had to come into modern times to find out that the physical universe was not composed of demons and ghosts to outlive his superstitions, to outlive the ignorance of his forebears. Now, I'm going to step out on a limb and put my neck on a chopping block and all of that kind of stuff because I'm a person who has my own ideology about a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that I won't read pretty much anything. I mean, I read books on Judaism and Catholicism, and I've done a course or two at Scientology, and the book that I'm reading right now is Scientology course, New Slant on Life, and it's talking about happiness, and that happiness is mainly up to you. And to a grand level, I will agree with that. You know, when things come at us in life, and they will come, you know, we were born into this life to have stuff happen, if you will. And it's not going to always be good stuff, and it's not going to always make us happy. It's not going to always be happy stuff. But in the midst of, we do have a choice. We have a choice to allow stuff to beat us down, to take us out, to make us sick, and the whole nine. We also, on the other hand, have a choice to choose to be happy in spite of, on top of, all through, around, in and out and about any given situation that is allowed. Now, I don't necessarily agree that the physical universe does not have some demons, some ghosts, and some serious superstition in the atmosphere. I totally contradict that statement in the book. I would go even further to say that I know of a certainty that there are demons in this physical realm. There are ghosts or spirits that are lost and wandering this physical realm. That's another subject, though, and so we won't get too far off the mark. I'm just saying, it's possible to read a book without being converted to any given practice. We've got to study things, we've got to read things, and we've got to allow our supreme being to interpret those things for us and help us to get clarity and to help us to get understanding about that thing. And that is all I'm encouraging you to do. But I'm speaking to happiness. I'm speaking to happiness this week, and I'm saying of a certainty without a shadow of a doubt, yes, I totally agree with the material that says happiness is up to you. You know, it doesn't matter what is going on in your life. In spite of that, you can choose to be happy. You might have lost your job. You might not have any income coming in. You might have just gotten a bad report from the doctor. You might have lost a loved one. Your best girl might have crossed you up royally. Your dude might have cheated on you and done you so wrong you can't even yet talk about it today. But in spite of all of that, you can still have joy. It's a choice. It is a choice. And I'll tell you something. I will encourage you strongly, because when you have a party of sorrow, or as some people lovingly refer to them, a pity party, nobody's coming to it but you. You're going to be there all by yourself. And the people that might have contributed to that attitude or that toot or that thought process for you in that given situation, they are not coming to the party. So don't even invite them to the party, because they are not coming to the party. You will be at that party all by yourself. And you have to make a decision. As I said before, no matter what, no matter what's going on, you have to make a decision that you are going to be happy. And I tell you what, a good place to rediscover your happiness is in music. That song, Happy by Pharrell, that song will make you happy and make you dance. So you can find some happy music. You can find some good rock and spiritual music. You can look at some funny movies. You can do any of those type of things. Read some word, find some good word in regard to the joy and the happiness of God and in God. And all these various things will cause you to return to your happy. And it's very important that we choose to be happy, no matter what God allows. Because remember this, brothers and sisters, God knows, and he's in control. And he knows that whatever you're going through, you and he together can and will handle it. And he will not allow you. Remember I said, even if you determine that he's punishing you for something that you know you've done wrong, and you truly do deserve it, the word of encouragement is chastened, but never destroyed. Disciplined, but never forsaken. God chastens those whom he loves, but he would not allow you to be destroyed in chastisement. So remember that and be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I would love to talk to you tomorrow about something in regard to, I hope, that you will be here, same time, same station, 347-205-9535. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Becky Book A Million Book Club, and it is possible to be happy. The subject for tonight was, is it possible to be happy? The answer is yes, possible to be happy. Have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow.